Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Oh, that's a great way to open this show.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests of Sasquatch Experience do not necessarily reflect the opinion of the hosts, sponsors, or affiliates of the Sasquatch Experience. As always, listener discretion is advised.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Does a legend walk among us, lurking in the forests of our world?
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good-sized man or something. It looks like a man. I don't know what it was.
For over 15 years, we've talked with scientists, researchers, investigators, and witnesses, trying to gain insight and proof around the existence of this mysterious entity.
Jesus Christ, you better... Tia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh. Okay, hang on.
He's right...
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Join us as we continue into the investigation of the Sasquatch Experience.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Sasquatch. I'm the Fort Chop Forker, Vancy Pye.
I'm over here, yeah.
Henry May and the Belch down there. Good old JB.
Ow!
Wow.
Reflecting off that dome, I've gone blind.
Somebody dropped a nuclear weapon over at Bake's place.
No, that was in the truck.
Okay.
I wasn't going to show off, but everybody else wants to talk. Folks, good evening. Welcome to the Sasquatch Experience. Great to be back after a couple weeks. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, but before we go, welcome back, guys. Thanks for bearing with me last week as we had to postpone literally at the last moment. Thank you. I appreciate everything you guys have done to help me out there. We did prepare for the show, though. The night before, we all sat down together.
Yeah.
Baker, who was too busy, to sit down and watch a movie. And Henry, God love him, tried his best, and that just didn't go to fruition. But nonetheless, prepared to talk about On the Trail of Bigfoot, The Last Frontier, here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Reviewing On the Trail of Bigfoot, The Last Frontier. Folks, if you haven't seen it, smalltownmonsters.com. Get yourself the DVD or the Blu-ray. Blu-ray is the best way to watch it, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Out there on streaming platforms as well. Check it out. Well worth the investment in time. And if you also happen to be a subscriber to the Small Town Monsters group on YouTube, you can go check it out. The Small Town Monster Squad, I guess. You can go check out the addition to it, the amendum, the Alaskan Coastal Sasquatch Part 1 and 2.
All right. All
worth the watch. But before we get into that, James, I know there was a topic you started on last night over at our friend Larry Beans Baxter's Facebook page, Alaskwatch. Good show to listen to, folks, by the way. Why don't you kick off the show with a little bit of conversation that you wanted to partake in this evening?
So there was a post by Alaskwatch that said, a researcher, and I didn't get specific names, was saying that a good portion to almost all of Bigfoot sightings are bears. So I kind of had the conversation with Forker today, and I want you guys, Henry, I'm going to ask you some random questions, and I want you to answer me honestly.
Okay.
What's the average size of a small to large Sasquatch?
Your average size Sasquatch would be around 7.5 to 9 feet tall.
Sometimes 10 feet.
Occasionally.
Okay, we'll call that, 7 to 10 feet average, covered in hair. So from the behind, if you didn't really see, like, so like if you saw an animal from behind and didn't see its hands and didn't see its face, you would say a 7 to 10 foot hairy animal if it was up. Well, my concept on the thing was is that that could also be a bear, because if you don't see the claws and you just see the back of the head, the hair, the paws, you know, are kind of like offset a little bit. If you didn't see it long enough, you could have seen a bear from behind. The other question is, a lot of times they see eyes in the woods. What color are bears' eyes?
I've never looked that deeply.
See, I didn't look it up. I admit.
Romantically look into my eyes.
I know Yogi would make me give him a sandwich. Yeah, it'd be like a nice sandwich. Anyway.
Oh God! There he goes.
But the concept that I had with it is scientifically it makes sense, because if you look at all the profile information, a standing bear could look as much as a Sasquatch if you saw it from certain angles. In other words, if you didn't see a tail, you saw it from like chest to back of the head, you might see it. If you just see eyes coming at you, it could be a bear.
Mm-hmm.
It would have the same girth. It would have the same thing. Because you look at, if you watch a lot of these wild nature shows, apes move quite the same as bears do, because that's what's useful to track prey or to move as an animal. We only move upright because we've decided to. But honestly, it's not exactly, bipedal is not exactly the fastest mode of transportation.
I don't know.
Well, not for us.
I have a hard time being a quadruped.
Yeah, exactly. Not for us.
You're smart. And it fits the other parts of your brain.
I think if you go into, you know, speak to an anthropologist, there's a reason we are bipedal. And I think it has a lot to do with our diet and how we eat and how we use our jaw and the other muscles in our body. They made a case for that for Gigantopithecus, how it could, its jaw structure would require, I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to go back and read the books, to be honest with you. But it's along those lines. It's something worth you to check out. The fact of the matter is, out of all these sightings and of all these reports, to say that they're all a black bear is just downright stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
That is a cross point. The fact is that scientifically, it also goes the other way. You could have seen anything, and you fill in what you think you might have saw.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a picture, or we get a body, we're all guessing. But I think when people generalize that, they have a scientific structure. It's like I always had a theory of a good portion of sightings are also like misplaced apes. You know, there's a lot of there's a large ape population in some of parts of the United States that, because of carnivals went down, zoos closed, or they just got rid of their chimps. NASA didn't destroy all those apes, so they were stuck in the Everglades. I'm saying it's kind of like the same concept, that you can prove that concept because there are cobras in Florida because some kid got a cobra and some other kid got a cobra and what the heck is this? Left it outside.
Right.
There's a large population of animals that should never be in the South.
Right.
That are, because people will be screwed with stuff.
Well, yeah, there is an over rampant overpopulation of boa constrictors in Florida right now, in which they have their annual boa constrictor hunt because they're not indigenous to the Everglades of Florida. Yeah, people will buy a boa constrictor and now it's, you know, 4 feet long. It's a little too big for the tank. Ah, let it go in the Everglades. And you'd be surprised on how many people actually do that. Now you have a problem with boa constrictors in the Everglades.
Well, now we see it.
Go ahead.
It's become a wildly dangerous situation down there and very detrimental to the natural environment. Go ahead, Jane.
But like my friend Thomas Finley, he makes some really good art if you get a chance to look him into. But he has snails. And he actually has to euthanize the babies because if these snails get out, they will overpopulate so quickly. And they're large. Florida's having the same problem because people in Florida don't understand how to be smarter than Thomas Finley. They just do things and they go, oh, well, we'll just put the eggs outside because that's better for the environment.
Right.
Now you have creatures that don't belong in areas and then they're being misidentified. And this, I can understand, like I said, the concept is sound, but I think, like you said, Porker, putting it all in one basket of this is what must be. It's like that weird form that's behind me. I clearly know that's a human, but you guys just see a shape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, to just say it's all one thing is misidentification. I just don't believe that. I think there's enough people out there that know what black bears look like from all.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and there is one, and I'm not going to say it's an infamous photograph, and I'm sorry I don't have it to present right now in the show, but it's a photograph taken of what looks like, and it definitely looks like, a Sasquatch sitting in the grass, but the photograph is taken at its back, and it looks like it's leaning on one arm. But if you look at it long enough, you'll see that it's a black bear licking itself. But at first glance, you see a conical head, you see an arm as if it's just kind of relaxing in a meadow. And I get that. But I totally see that that was misrepresented and misposted as, oh, this is a Sasquatch. No, it's a black bear.
And the question I have for you, Vance, is how many minutes did it take you to recognize it was not a Sasquatch and was a
To be honest with you, Bake, probably about a half hour of looking at that picture. And then I could put pieces together. Second. Yeah.
That
right.
Picture was probably 4 seconds of that person's life.
Right.
They're cleaning it while they're grabbing
the
rest of their belongings and moving on.
Right.
And to them, you'll never convince them that was a bear.
Yeah.
Because in that 4 seconds or 30 seconds or even a minute,
right,
all they saw was large hairy beast, and then their brain filled everything else in.
Can I give an example to exactly what you just brought up? And I'm sorry if I don't want to step on everybody, but this doesn't go off topic, but it stays within topic. There was a airline pilot that saw this Russian or this Chinese spy balloon over this past weekend. And as he's reporting it, he said, wow, we saw something at about 60,000 feet and it dropped 2,000 feet instantly. And he's reporting it back as if it's possibly a UFO. Well, there's no way this balloon descended 2,000 feet instantly. It's a balloon. So people kind of, you know, manipulate something that they want to see, but they're not sure what it is that they're seeing. So there's a bit of embellishment out of excitement out of it. And I think a lot of that has to fall into the same category of seeing something that you probably can't identify the shape immediately, that it might be something else. And then, oh, it's a Sasquatch. And maybe it really wasn't. It might have been a black bear.
And we can't say that's not true. We can't say that's not the case. But what I'm saying is out of the spirit of the article, from my opinion, my takeaway, is that Bigfoot is nothing but misidentification.
Right.
That's it. And it just cannot be. I just don't buy it.
For the thousands and thousands and thousands of reports, I can't see it being misidentification. I just can't, especially by some people that are a little bit more focused in law enforcement. that are very skeptical, but definitely see something that puts it into that category.
Man, going back to just channel John Green for just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Even if only one of the sightings happened to be a Sasquatch.
Right.
It's still Sasquatch.
Right.
And that's a legitimate.
Still not a misidentification. It's still nothing else. At least one of them was a Sasquatch, right? And I'm just taking that quote out of context and making it to fit this argument. Henry, the walking Bigfoot encyclopedia, knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it just happens to fit the scenario upon which we're going through. And actually, segueing that into the main topic of the show tonight, on the trail of Bigfoot, the last frontier.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things one of the big takeaways, Vance, that you and I talked about for a while was the witness sighting.
Right.
Of the gentleman that had it when he had the sighting when he was driving his truck.
Mm-hmm.
My God, by the way, a great. I would have got permission to play that. Folks, I really want you to go check it out because they did put a lot of effort into making this movie, this film. A documentary, Bigfoot, The Last Frontier. First of all, it's visually stunning. It's beautiful. A lot of effort that was put into it. But this witness encounter, the witness encounters they showed in the whole documentary were very good. I enjoyed them both. Though we had a little bit of fun with the one guy. but honestly, we stopped laughing when he had a very emotional reaction.
Right, exactly.
Came very raw, and you almost find yourself very impacted by his retelling of.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The situation, you know, he starts the interview off bitching about how slow his wife is about things, and then by the end you're really empathizing and feeling, you know, what he's talking about. But more so, Vance, what you in particular really latched on to the guy that had the sighting as he's talking about, again, we talk about this bear scenario, and how he's talking about it cannot be a bear because of the physical attributes, and I'll let you talk.
Well, no, there's too many physical attributes. And when I compile with what, and The Last Frontier clearly is about Alaska.
Yeah.
But when you see so many other videos that come from either the great northwest of the United States or Alaska, and you see, I've seen a plethora of videos. Some of them I just kind of shrug off, but there are some that are just. You can tell this is just A, it's not a hoax, and B, it's not a bear or another known animal that would live in that region, like a moose or a brown bear, grizzly bear. It just doesn't move that way.
Well, hell, and we had Larry Baxter on the show as a moose goes through his
moose walked right. Yeah. During while we were talking to him, a moose walked by, but he knew it was a moose. And that's the thing. He knew it was a moose, but with some of the video evidence that we've seen, it's just obvious that this thing stands upright, grabs onto a branch, and then just wanders off into the woods after it realizes it's been seen by a family that's recording on a video camera. And there's, you know, I'm not going to get too far off track here, but I think as within the next couple of years that progress with, you know, video imagery, I think a lot of it's going to be more adapted to how our eyes see things, because when we look into the woods, our eyes automatically adjust to focus, and it's, you know, we're bifocal because we have two eyes, and we can focus a little bit better in a 3D image. And I think technology is really quickly coming to that aspect where we'll be able to see video imagery the way our brain and our eyes see it. And so when you hit record, you'll probably get a lot better, clearer picture. And it's very possible the days of blurry Bigfoot pictures might be coming to an end. I think that's kind of the precipice in which we are standing on right now.
We hope so. I mean, we definitely need to get better video evidence. And we've talked about this now ad nauseum over and over and over again.
Right.
It's either because we don't know how to use the equipment we have or the equipment's just not good enough. Eventually, that's not going to be a viable excuse.
Exactly.
Right? And so it becomes, but then what happens if we get no video evidence? What happens then? Where do the people that have had sightings and encounters, where does that argument get backed up by?
Well, yeah, and there's going to be the group of, it's CGI. Okay, it's not really CGI, but...
CGI is still CGI, and you can tell it's CGI.
Right.
You can tell somebody manipulated something.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. Back to, what was it, Rogue One, which wasn't that long ago, where they do the whole... you know, stand in, and then the digital representation of you're pushing, you know, like that was good, but even the lips weren't moving in a natural way. I think the best of deep fakes, you can tell if you get in there detailed enough that it's fake. So CGI only gets you so far. Above and beyond that, as we keep tangenting off and going down past the documentary, the standout part of it, I think, for the entire show for me, Vance, was what you latched onto was that gentleman and his sighting.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
it was emotional, though.
It was.
Yeah, it was emotional in his sighting. And that's kind of how I just replied back to you when we were watching that together. It was pretty profound.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just cannot be. In my knee-jerk reaction, it's just not going to be anything else other than a unclassified creature that walks bipedally.
You talk about something like empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And how I've said since I had my encounter, like there's just a feeling that you have. And you can sense it and see it in somebody else who's kind of gone through the same turmoil. The pool and the pain that it puts on your psyche, because people don't understand it. Unless you've experienced it, you're always still kind of doubting yourself. At least I am. I'm always doubting. Did I really experience what I saw? And to see another person really go through that turmoil like this. And he says, the gentleman, you know, that was making fun of his wife first and then goes into it. Like, I'm not crazy. Like, I know what I, you know, like he's even going through as he's retelling the story. You can see him going through that whole emotional roller coaster right there in front of you in the camera.
Right, right.
And that's very telling. And folks, that I believe it's very unscientific. You call it what you want, folks. Folks that I believe that have had a genuine encounter, you share that you can feel it. And I don't know any other words to describe it besides just.
Right. Well, in the words of the late, great Linda Gottfried, she used the terminology, but if you really think about it, if you close your eyes and think about it, the terminology that she used was, I know what I saw.
Sure.
I know what I saw. It has a huge gravitational impact just by those words. I know what I saw.
But when you see what you think you saw and you know what you saw, the problem is you got to convince everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you have to convince everybody else.
No, you do.
I think you're convinced by yourself and you just try to share that. And there's going to be those naysayers that are like, yeah, you're nuts.
I still feel, though, after the entire time, and we've been talking 2012, you know, almost a decade. This year it'll be a decade since that night out in Clearfield.
Mm-hmm.
I still, every time I tell my story, still try to put it in a way that's more convincing to others than myself that that's what I've seen, because part of my credibility is still on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's understandable. And I think that's normal.
And it's really hard to reconcile that, you know, you're sharing this story at a very emotional and raw experience that's very, you know, and again, I use this term not to be dramatic because it's the only way I think it resonates with folks is traumatic and shocking to the system, because no matter how much of time I've spent out there, I don't think this you never expect it to be real till you see it, right? You never expect it to be there until you run into
it.
It's a very personal thing, and it's a very and you struggle with that. Watching these guys on camera, you know, I just felt a little bit of that myself. Like part of my heart still pulls for them because I know the guys, you know, now bearing his soul and crying in front of an audience.
Right.
That takes a lot of guts and courage.
Sure it does. No, sure it does.
It takes a lot of guts or courage or somebody who's completely mentally ill who doesn't care about the lies.
Yeah, but there's so much in the speech and in the explanation that just clearly shows there's no mental illness there. Yeah, there's just not.
You have to be a better researcher because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stories that are out there that are absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
People out there promote it like it's the next great thing. And
I understand that, but a lot of it's rehearsed.
Sure.
And you know, the bullshit meter goes off, and my bullshit meter did not go off during that.
Part of this in general is people just post this shit on the internet.
Right?
And there's no emotional retelling whatsoever. It's usually poorly grammared, poorly written, and it's posted on there. People take it for the fucking gospel. And that they do. And they go out there and proselytize it. And if you put a moment of doubt in there, you know, you get your ass jumped on by people who have been in this research field for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, I can't tell you. I get shit thrown at us all the time here from people that said they've been in the field for over 50 years. I don't know who you are.
Right.
All right. And you want us to believe you and take for what you say to be a truth, but nobody knows you. They don't know your research. They don't know your own credibility, but you're latching on to Johnny Dipshit.
That's true.
It's got to be real because he said the thing had a scrotum. So what
happened? Yeah. No,
it's like soccer moms. My yoga instructor said this causes autism. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Okay? Stop.
But when you go back and you have really good
and
you're putting it out there in a very respectful way, I guess.
Right.
It makes a difference. And that's what I like to see. And witnesses like that are not as easy to come by as you think.
No, of course not.
My little angry moment there, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating because I saw it the other day and I see it day in and day out. You know, we put ourselves out there and we put our credibility out here, even talking about this subject, you know, still in 28 years I've done this. People still laugh. Oh, you believe in Bigfoot? Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I experience something I can't explain. I'd like to be able to explain it. I'd love to be able to pull this thing in a museum or put it in a zoo
or
tell you on a fucking slab that this thing is
right.
I can't do that, pal. I'd like to, but I can't. But all I can do is tell you I'm a pretty reputable person. I've got a good background. I've been doing this a long time. I'm not a jackass, and I've got a hundred million other things to do than try to pull the wool over your eyes.
This is
what I experienced.
Right. And then with the overwhelming evidence of what has been presented before us.
And a lot of it, but it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good enough. And that's where we get stuck.
Well, it's never going to be good enough for a huge swath of people. But yeah, Bake, go ahead.
I think where the problem is that, so I'll make a reference. The other day, I'm working by myself on Sunday, and there are little black pellets in this one area. Now, I know what deer poop looks like. I know that there are hoof prints a couple feet away. I know that I put out food and salt for the deer. Forker, you can attest to that.
Yeah, okay. You only hit me with one today.
I know
with salt.
That I have done everything I can to push deer towards this area.
Yeah.
Now, I did not see the deer poop. But no matter what you tell me, unless you can show me the other thing that pooped there, I know without having a deer body laying there, the deer caused that situation.
And it was me.
But in the same mouth, you can say that I saw this.
Right.
It's near this. It's near this. There's a food source over here. There's a weird track over here. Mm. You know, there's all these parts. So your brain can put all that together, and you don't need someone to say that I need to see it. No, because your brain investigates enough that I found deer poop. And I put other little pieces of information in my land within a, let's say, a 20-foot radius to a 100-foot radius that made that idea completely plausible. Now, when Forker checks my game cam, I can guarantee if that angle's upright, he's going to have a picture of a deer shitting in my backyard. Okay?
Deer exist. We know deer
shit. Right. That's a thing.
Got a lot of, we don't have that with Sasquatch.
Exactly. That's the difference.
Our dear friend Amy put a post in here. I was saying yesterday at the outdoor show that it doesn't bother me anymore if people laugh at me, but it's annoying. I'm a semi-intelligent person, not a bozo. Amy, you're a very intelligent person. Who we respect a tremendous amount on this.
Yeah, hey, Amy.
Because you really are a tremendous researcher. But it's annoying and it's frustrating. And I share that. You get over the laughs, you know. Or the stupid questions. Is there more? Yes, there's more than one, you idiot. It gets old. That's all I'm saying. 28 years of this, or however long you've personally invested, when people realize that's what you do, it gets old after a while.
Right. And that's the one thing that I want to state, especially with the bear theories and the other thing is I don't disrespect you saw something. I don't disrespect that it could be what it is, because scientifically, you could be completely right with the evidence you're given. You know, what we want to look at is what is the next move? You know, because we've tried cameraing, you know.
The fact of the matter is we don't get to make a next move without witnesses.
Yeah.
Right.
We rely on them and we depend on them. It's not like we have the ability, no matter how great these maps have been, these websites and these databases and everything, it's not been good enough to get us a set of data where we know exactly when to show up and when to film and what conditions are best. It doesn't. Mm. People, 150 people could say, oh, it's better in the full moon. Why? Why is it better in a full moon? First of all, idiot, there's a lot of light during a full moon.
Right.
If you're a creature that's dependent on stealthiness. Oh, bye. Let me go travel when it's the brightest out.
Yeah.
You know, let me please, by all means, expose myself to you in a lot greater way. Nobody take that out of context, by the way. I don't
That's fine.
Let's get back to Alaska. We did fall off topic there. I'm sorry, listeners.
Sorry.
We do love you and respect you. Sometimes, you know, I just got to blow up on occasion. But these witnesses are really good. But Vance, more so the guy that was doing the guy that was driving. And he had the experience. That one was really, really great as well.
Yes. How about it? And how many times have we heard?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You know, you're in your vehicle driving and you have an experience. I mean, I think that probably, I don't know. I haven't done the math or the research on it, but it seems to be the highest percentage of people that have an experience is when they're lackadaisical and they're driving and they have an experience.
It happens a lot.
Right.
A lot, not just in vehicle, though. I think a lot of folks that have experiences just out doing regular everyday things. They're not
right. Yes. Not looking for anything. They're just out having their experience doing what it is that they're doing. And then something happens.
Instead of trying to go out looking like half-assed commandos, why don't we just try to go out and look like campers?
Right.
We seem to have the best of luck in that. I don't.
And that's valid, Forker, because we've learned so much just being pseudo farmers. Okay. Yeah. You know, like we learned, We learn what's working, what's not, how to make the land better, how to draw. Like, I've noticed more animals. We noticed where to put the cameras are by where we saw the animals.
Hank and I were having breakfast this morning. And this is just how good we are getting at noticing things that are just off the rail, right? We're sitting there having breakfast, and he goes, "Corker, is that a rat?" I'm like, "What? What do you mean in here?" He goes, "No, outside." And sure enough, I look over, and there's broad daylight, they're middle
right.
People walking right past it. There's a goddamn rat sitting there eating breakfast
on a rock, munching on something.
Nobody's noticing it in their day to day. They're going by. I'll tell you what, if I just saw that when I was walking by it, I'd have pissed myself.
Yeah, right.
I would have screamed. It would have been a whole ordeal. And this, literally, this guy could almost leg brushes against it, and he doesn't even notice. He just goes on going about his own business.
Oh boy!
Makes you wonder that, you know, how often does that happen for other things? You know, could it be possible? And it more than likely is that you've gone out on a regular hike and have walked past something.
Right.
How many times are you driving down the street and all of a sudden you see these deer pop out of nowhere, but you don't realize they've been sitting there alongside the road for the last 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, perfect example is last year during the spring. I'm working on my greenhouse. I'm using the nail gun. I'm using the saw. I'm not being quiet. They've been bedded down in the tall grass 20 feet from me.
Right.
Okay. And when the noise stopped, they got up. They looked at me. Oh, it's him. They wandered off into the woods. I have video from it.
Right.
But, like, they were watching me the whole time, and I had no clue that three deer, and not like little doe,
right,
full-sized deer, we're just out there,
hey,
just
babe,
hanging out. Didn't care I existed.
We're hitting the news break, but we'll come back, finish up that thought, Baker, and then we'll finish off with more.
Yes,
on the trail.
I don't know if I can hold a thought though.
I've got a couple more points to bring up after the news break.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Take a break. Listen, smoke with you.
News team, assemble!
This is the Sasquatch Experience Stranger Than Fiction News, and for the first time, we're going to go right into an editorial page, a personal observation, and I'm sure at some point, we will probably discuss this topic in an up-and-coming show. So my observation was over this weekend is that science and the study of Sasquatchery, and if that's a real word, I'm not sure, but in the science study and research of Sasquatchery, it seems as though we have to take an outside science observation, so to speak, and melt that in with the research of Bigfoot. What do I mean by that? Well, I watched a brief documentary a few days back about some African tribe people that still exist today that spend from sunrise till sundown hunting for its food in primitive ways. But this is their modern life. But my observation is the physical nature of these tribal people. Absolutely beautiful, well-toned, muscular, like you wouldn't believe. Able to run through the Congo, through the plains of Africa, chasing baboons and other wildlife creatures to sustain their village. They're doing this barefoot. They are so physically fit, they can run up hills, down hills, through jungles, up trees, in lightning speed. And how many cases have we heard of Bigfoot being able to do the same thing? It doesn't wear shoes. Well, of course it doesn't wear shoes. It's a creature. But these people don't wear shoes either. And their feet are adapted through years of genetic change in order to adapt to that environment. In addition to that, though, when these people do go hunt for their prey, they don't want to be seen, heard, or smelled, and yet they can move through their environment undetected. Sound familiar? When we come back, we're going to discuss a few statistics along with some facts.
Fact: bears eat beets. Bears eats Battlestar Galactica.
You're listening to the Sasquatch Experience.
Ever been insulted by somebody telling you to take bamboo and shove it up your wazoo? Well, now you can. Cloud Paper is on a mission to end deforestation caused by traditional paper products and makes a line of tree-free toilet paper and paper towels with 100% bamboo. Unlike trees, bamboo grows incredibly quick, up to 3 feet per day, and is renewable, so it can continue to be used for additional harvests. The products are soft and strong, which means you don't have to sacrifice quality for sustainability. And it gets delivered to your door in plastic-free packaging with carbon-neutral deliveries. Choose a subscription that fits your lifestyle and pause, adjust, or cancel at any time. Just visit CloudPaper at cloudpaper.co. Again, that's cloudpaper.co. Well, going through facts and statistics, it's always fun to revisit this every once in a while. I know I've reported on this at least in two previous shows, but in case you've missed it, we'll go through them again. Since 1995, with credible Bigfoot reports, here are the top 10 states in the United States with the sightings, or highest sightings, of Bigfoot. Coming in at number 10 is the great state of Georgia, at 139 reports. Now, being that Georgia borders Florida, I would assume it's probably the same species or subspecies of the skunk ape. Coming in at number 9, Missouri, or as we like to say here in Illinois, Misery, at 166. That's like one nerd making fun of another nerd, because Illinois is not a whole lot better. Number 8, the great state of Michigan, including the Upper Peninsula, 225 reports. Number 7, probably coming out of the Sam Houston, is Texas, 253 reports. This kind of surprised me at number 6 is the state of Oregon at 257 reports. But coming in above Oregon is the great state of Illinois. Yeah, right. 302 reports. Now, mind you, since I reside in Illinois, we're talking central and southern Illinois. Number 4, Ohio, which is funny because I always thought it was pronounced Idaho. Ohio at 318 reports. Number 3, no surprise to you, I'm sure. I'm sure the top 3 are no surprise to anybody. Florida, 337 reports. Number 2, California, 459 reports. And number 1, Washington State, at 708 reports. Now, while West Virginia isn't in the top 10 with its 105 sightings, it is fairly high up the list for its small population. It's tying with Wisconsin, which has about 4 million more residents than West Virginia. That's it for this edition of the Sasquatch Experience Stranger Than Fiction News. I gotta put the headphones down and give everybody in the room a big hug.
Well, thanks, Vance.
Mm.
I'm still not certain of the veracity of that list.
Right.
There's a state that's absent on there that's pretty important to me.
Well, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not on the list, but it's pretty close tying with Ohio. So,
yeah, where did you get the numbers from?
I got the numbers from the BFRO.
Yeah, they suck.
I'm just taking it for what it is, because there's probably 4 other sites that I've taken the reports from that coincide pretty closely to those numbers. Now, these are reports that were affirmed as most possible. Okay. So I'm leaving it at that. You know, this is not confirmed. And again, Sean, we have to go back to how many people have seen something but did not report it. And that's that you know, takes a lot of credence as well. So these are just reports that were actually taken.
Nonetheless, we thank you for this week's news,
man. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Paper love, so take that bamboo.
Up your wazoo.
Shoving up the wazoo. James Baker, did you keep that thought in mind for the following part of the news section?
I tried. I did. I really tried to keep it in there. All I wanted was a green space. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I did have a swings for
Can't say that.
I guess, like I said, a lot of it comes down to is you learn about your environment and you become more self-aware of things as
right.
you start to be part of your environment.
Like right.
The rat thing today, like he wasn't facing the right way and it just caught the side of my eye and I'm like, that is so unique. And because me and Forker can talk about pretty much anything, you know, I was like, dude, there's a rat over there. You know,
I'm like, shut up, we're in a restaurant. Shut
up. Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm not making it up. It's not here.
You right.
know, you know, like, you know, and
the thing is better for some reason.
And he believed me without seeing this thing. And then when he turned around, at first he didn't. He's like, no, I said, look really close at that rock.
And it moved. You
know, new.
I explained to him what I saw, and then he saw it. But if that rat would have went away, Forker would have believed me.
Right.
Yeah, I would have. You're just not right. randomly going to say, look, there's a rat over there.
Because I wouldn't have made that that's where we also have to look at our investigationally is, if Henry tells me yes tomorrow that he was in his backyard taking a whiz and he saw a Bigfoot and he gave me enough description, I believe in Henry enough to say, okay, that's plausible and I believe in it. And then the next day he goes, look, this is where it kind of was and whatever, and he fills in the blanks in my head. I'm not caring about the story. The caring on the fact is that I've talked to Henry.
That Henry was taking a whiz?
that Henry wouldn't have made that up.
Here I am. In my backyard. With my dick in my hand.
I don't know. Wow. Hey, we're a family-friendly show. Wow.
No, we took that out a little while ago with my little outburst before the news. We
just
an explicit reminder.
Oh, man.
Anyhow.
I said whiz.
You did. You did.
What we're talking about, though, is because we have only a little bit left of the show tonight, and I already feel like we only partially talked about what we wanted to,
which
was a great documentary, On the Trail of Bigfoot, The Last Frontier, available anywhere you can stream movies from Small Town Monsters. Vance, go ahead, and the points you wanted to make before we get off
topic. Okay, well, the point that I wanted to make was Alaska. It is the last frontier, and there's a reason why it's referred to as the last frontier. Outside of Antarctica, which does not have a whole lot of wildlife that lives there, it kind of occurred to me that Native people or even residents that live in Alaska, I wonder in the pioneer days, and we're talking within the 1800s, if a Sasquatch was taken out with a musket. And I know this sounds crazy, but I wonder if a Sasquatch creature was ever taken out with a musket and then cooked up as a meal and have Sasquatch ribs and butt steak. And I wondered, I'm like, I could see it kind of possibly being plausible as a survival aspect that here's a creature that's out here and we took it out and you know what? We ate it. I wonder if there were any of these creatures that were taken out for consumable purposes. I don't know. It's possible.
Wow. Hey, did I see right that Alaska Killer Bigfoot's back for another season?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think executive producer, Brian Corbin, makes a good point. Vance has given this a lot of thought. Vance doesn't want to prove a Sasquatch existed and like to eat one and wondered if the Native folk had any great recipes for Rump Day Sasquatch.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But it's a valid question because you know the first Spanish, this first Spaniard or the first Italian or whatever that saw a horse was like, what is that?
Right.
And then the Native Americans like, well, you remember that meat we had the other day? Yeah.
Could you imagine the first person that saw an Alaskan king crab, a giant water spider, and said, let's try to eat that?
Yes, the cockroach of the sea.
Exactly. And they ate it. And now it actually is pretty damn good. But I wonder if there was ever an occurrence, which I could see it's possible, that maybe natives in the Alaskan region, whether Eskimo or just natives, whatever settlers took, may have taken out a Sasquatch and made a meal out of it. I was just like, well, it's possible, I guess.
Grassman pate.
I know that has nothing to do with the documentary that, you know, STM or Small Town Monsters has put out, but, you know, these are all just questions that cross my little tiny pea brain while I'm watching this going, I'm wondering if that's possible.
Well, I mean, it does set the tone, right? The setting, it does exactly. A really good job painting the remoteness, kind of the isolatory nature of what's going on, especially when they go out to Scott, the story of Scott, and his stories. Now, interesting enough, Scott sent those sound files to us.
Right.
As well. And we actually, if you go to, I think it was our SoundCloud or even back further there on our old webpage, I'll put them on the new one, we're under the vocal section, the Alaska vocals are those same vocals, I believe, that Small Town Monsters played.
Mm-hmm.
Them to us before, and actually asked if we were going to be up there with the Small Town Monsters folks. And I really wish we would have found a way to make that happen. But alas, we couldn't. But I've been compelled by them for some time. It was nice to see the whole story fleshed out on the screen, especially with Rob Roy Menzies out there. It just gives an overall, painting of the area. When you're able to visualize it, and I mean not mentally visualize it, but physically see it, it's what I appreciate about Seth and team.
Right. Right.
Now you're putting the visual right there in front of me. I can now see how this is all going to work out and how this plays out. Through the retelling of stories, and now I can see it playing through in a realistic way.
All right. I've never had the privilege as of yet to be in Alaska like Seth has, but I have been to Montana. And when you have your vehicle pulled over and you're looking at the expanse of Montana, anything is possible. Anything is possible out there. There is just millions of acres, and I'm probably exaggerating, but let's say 100,000s of acres where anything could exist out there that just does not want to be discovered, stays away from human activity, and buries within the woods and lives its life. And you know what? There's plenty of homeless people that have done the same thing, where they've just gone completely off the grid and were never discovered again, unless they wanted to be discovered again. And so with the intelligence level that I think that these creatures probably have, they can remain off the grid, away from human population, and just exist, breed, raise family units, and coexist with nature instead of human nature.
Well, that's proven. One of my favorite movies with Robert Redford is Jeremiah Johnson.
Right.
After the Civil War, a lot of the people in the army and it were so disillusioned that they went out into the Rockies and trapped and they did all kinds of stuff. But they honestly didn't see another person for 5 years, or they might not see somebody from spring to fall. But they lived out there totally. We have our doomsday preppers, but we also have people that took care of the Free Land Act from Wyoming to Oregon. If you could prove you could make the land useful in 5 years, you could keep a couple acres.
Exactly.
There's still, I think that still exists. That if you
it does. No, no. Yeah.
They're inhospitable areas. If you know what you're doing, though, you can turn them into a virtual paradise.
Sure.
You have to be prepared to live that kind of life.
Are we willing
to accept the challenge? Alaska is full of those.
where
people can just go, okay, hey, this next 20 acres is mine. They fill out a piece of paper with the government and they just acquired it for free. But that ain't an easy life. Because okay, so like today we were talking with Sean, like I get free cardboard from the local store. I get pallets from here to build stuff. There is no local whatever. You're chopping down a tree and turning into lumber to build your house.
Right.
There's no going down and get nails. You're making pegs and drilling holes.
So you we're know, not there yet, is what you're saying.
Right. It's not an easy.
Especially the pegging. That's not.
No, it's not an easy existence by any means. And again, going back to the documentary, we're talking about Alaska, the last frontier. It's called that for a reason still to this day. You know, more than 90% of Alaska is not occupied by human existence. Well, where else would you go to exist if you don't want to be discovered?
Well,
Australia.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Australia that's pretty inhospitable to other creatures because there's other creatures there that will make it inhospitable for you to exist there.
It's the same concept.
It's the same concept, yes. Yes, it is the same concept. I agree, and that's why there's so many Yowie sightings. And to go back to, you know, what's going on in the political news right now with a Chinese balloon that flew over America, I wonder how many photographs of a Sasquatch was taken as it's drifting over the continental United States. I would be kind of more interested in that than the secrets that it was consuming. How many photographs did you actually consume of, you know, a top view of something walking through the woods?
You'll never know.
I think we need to do a lot more of that.
That kind of goes to that image from Google Earth from Colorado as well, right?
That's you're right.
You know,
yes.
At some point, these satellites and these balloons are going to catch something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about the Falcon Project, and William Barnes, who's part of that, contacted me. He's on a whole other project now. We're going to get him on the show to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, we're gonna catch this. I think. You know, finding a way to bring this back to our main topic so we can wrap it up. Check it out. I mean, we could sit here and talk about it for 2-3 hours and go off on tangents every time we bring up a subject that revolves back to Alaska. But the fact of the matter is, it's the imagery, the story that it tells, the witnesses that it brings us, and the overall outstanding visuals that really help put the context into what's going on up there a lot more than what you're going to get from Discovery putting together with a lot of drama. There's a lot of story, and the drama comes from real sources. It's not made up. It's not embellished.
Right.
It comes from real sources. And that, my friends, is far more important than anything. And that's why I still, every time we talk about a Small Town Monsters project, I get wound up because they seem to get better, and they get better at telling stories. Through practice and repetition, they get
better. I believe what was stated by Seth that I read today, June of this year, they're going back up to Alaska again. Let's see what else they can capture and interview when they go back up there again.
And the folks, this Kickstarter is still going on for them. The film raised money for the rest of the films they've got coming out through this year. Go to smalltownmonsters.com, click on the Kickstarter, run until March 4th. I've backed it. I always get my money's worth. Again, it's well worth the investment if you want to help produce and be a part of these great films in some way, shape, or form. Let's just keep it going and support great research. Go check it out, smalltownmonsters.com. And while you're at it, go to anywhere you can stream video or go to their website and buy On the Trail of Bigfoot. Here, Henry, any final thoughts for STM? On the Trail of Bigfoot, Alaska, the last frontier.
I didn't get to see the whole thing, so I don't really have much comment on it. Other than What I saw was good.
Yeah. You didn't get to watch a little bit with us, though, which we appreciate. I think we all had the same kind of conversation going on during the witness testimonials. Vance, your final thoughts on this before we wrap it up?
Well, my final thoughts is I would estimate that probably Alaska has a higher percentage of said creature within the boundaries of the state of Alaska than probably any other state. But I'm just speculating that. But by the immense acreage or square mileage of Alaska, it would seem to me, with the human population being minimal, I would think that the Sasquatch population is probably much greater and would put it higher on that list that I gave during the news segment if it were a higher human population to have an experience. But that's just my personal take. You know, I'm interested in what goes on in Alaska, and I think with the resources that are made available in Alaska, I could see that this entity could probably exist and thrive pretty darn well without being detected.
Sure. Very good.
Yeah.
Folks, follow us on social media, Sasquatch Experience on Facebook, Instagram, Squatch EXP on Twitter. Of course, there's our
Patreon, and there's the train,
which is really like the train. Train, patreon.com/Sasquatch Experience. You can support us for as little as $2 a month. $2 a month gets you ad free shows and a bunch of stuff. We're starting to add. James and I out filming today. A couple segments of On the Road with Sean and James, and this one's tailgating with Sean and James. What the hell he's doing into the camera there?
Yeah, well, who's going to pay $2 for that? I don't know.
You know what? People sell pictures of feet, so I'm sure there's money. Report it. We want
$2. For $2, I will next week when I talk to Forker.
Here he comes.
Tell you that anybody will pay for feet pics.
Here he comes. I knew it.
Oh, there is a story that revolves around Bigfoot. Absolutely. Report
Bigfoot pics.
Report your sighting or encounter. info@SasquatchExperience.com or go to our website, SasquatchExperience.com, and click on report it, of all things. Folks, I'm Sean the Fork Chop Fork. You can find me anywhere on Facebook, Instagram, social media, at Sean Forker. I am my name. I don't hide behind any pseudonym. If you want to find me that bad, you really need a life. But we got a lot to talk about. Yep. On the social media. Vance, where can folks find you? You've evolved back into social media.
I have evolved back into social media. Vance Nesbitt with 2 T's, no silent J, on Facebook. And then you can head over to Instagram at Vance_Nesbitt_STF News.
It's Henry May. Where can folks find you?
I'm laying in the chair.
Henry, wake up with the throw dirt on.
He's just look Henry May in his living room. That's how you'll find him.
May the 4th is what he is. And yeah. James, where can folks
find you? Now I'm working on I'm on social media. If you find Sean, you'll find me, or if you find the Sasquatch Experience, I'm sure I comment somewhere and you can hunt me down. But I'm also working on some projects about some of the things I've learned from being a landowner and some of the things me and Sean have learned, so that maybe, you know, if you decide to go out in the woods, some ideas to make your wooded area what you want it to be.
If you have questions about your wood, James Baker's the person.
I have a question about my wood. What blue pill do I have to take? Oh, I'm sorry. I ended it that way.
All right. Maybe we're going to leave it at that, folks. Next time, stay tuned to social media. We'll have the next show planned out. You know, Henry would say, y'all be good or be good at it. I'm going to say, let's just go to hell home. We'll see you next time.
See you.
You've been listening to Sasquatch Experience. Please rate and review wherever this podcast is consumed. To share your experience, visit us on Facebook or email us, squatchexperience@gmail.com. Keep on squatching.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.